Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. And this is episode 127, Being Amateurist is a Good Thing. And as always, fans first, shout out to Jackie Davis of Canton, Ohio at Premier Salon. Glad to have you on board as a regular listener of the show. Also, Gary Kalame, I hope I'm saying your last name right, had some kind words to say about my article, 70 Reasons Why NHRA Drag Racing is the Greatest Sport on Earth, found in July's issue of National Dragster and on NHRA.com. And also Frank Mancuso and Sean, no last name, sorry, who also were kind enough to drop me a line about the article that I wrote. And finally, some more show news. This show is now heard on 23 podcast platforms, and soon there will be new No Amateurs tees on sale and an upcoming Amateur Nation website. I'll keep you posted. Well, I know my pros listening are ready. What about you amateurs who are show virgins?
I'm ready to go pro.
Hit me.
Topic number one.
Recently, I was at lunch with my mom, and before we left, I hit the restroom. Have you ever been to a restaurant with this kind of setup where the sinks are the common area with no doors, but each individual stall for bathroom facilities are marked men or women? Do you understand what I'm saying? Where you just kind of walk into an area. There's no door delineating it from the rest of the restaurant where there are common area sinks to wash your hands after you've used the bathroom, but there are individual stall doors marked men and women. Well, anyway, I enter this area, and coincidentally, there was a woman coming out of one of the stalls ready to wash her hands, and I thought I mistakenly walked into the ladies' room and about had a heart attack. Whose bright idea was this? Is this a space-saving idea? I know it's not some attempt to be inclusive because this restaurant has been around for a while before all this nonsense started. I guess I never had to use their restrooms before. I remember a fancy lounge in Studio City, California, where I lived, had a similar setup, and I recall these douchey, loungy club men just kind of hanging out by the sink area, waiting for women after they were done using the bathroom. Ew. I mean, what's the icebreaker there? Please allow me to pump the soap dispenser for you. Or, hey, I heard you in there. You feeling better? Or, well, now that you're lighter, what do you say we get out of here? And, whoa, girl, what did you eat? All right, that's enough of that. Anyway, my point is, some things don't need to be inclusive. Or, for that matter, even in the same proximity. This has nothing to do with how you identify, or it has nothing to do with your sexuality. It's simply about privacy, decorum, manners. Now, let's talk about day spas. Now, I don't know if you've ever been, but they're all over Los Angeles where I lived for 24 years. Day spas offer services like massage, manicures, pedicures, haircuts and styling, saunas, steam rooms, hot stone therapy, facials, swimming pools, meditation areas, tea rooms, dining areas, reading rooms, etc. It's called a day spa because you're going to spend, you know, if you do everything there, you're going to spend the day there. It's, you know, a self-care day. It's a place for grown-ups. Now, some of these in Los Angeles, I don't know if you have them where you live, but in Los Angeles, some are only for men, some are only for women, but many of them are indeed unisex. However, men are separated from women in most areas, of course, especially the locker rooms. But some areas, you will find men and women, like the hair salon or the pool, as long as you're clothed. The hot tub area, sometimes. You're always clothed when in the unisex areas, or at least wearing a robe and flip-flops or something like that. Now, I should mention, I know about the spa that I'm going to talk about here in particular, and you should know, and this is important regarding the spa I'm about to talk about, that they allow parents to bring kids there. Why a child would need a day spa, or why a parent would want to take a day to decompress and treat themselves to something relaxing and self-care, that kind of thing, and still bring their child along, I have no idea. They have like little daycare areas and play areas and stuff for the kids, a nursery, if you will, with an adult supervising. But why would you bring your child to that? What, you can't get a babysitter? You could afford the day spa, but you can't get a sitter? Well, then just plan your visit to the day spa for another day. But I digress. This spa that I'm about to talk about, WI Spa, spelled W-I, is in West Los Angeles, bordering Santa Monica and West Hollywood, both pretty wealthy areas. Here is your headline found just about everywhere. Woman outraged at spa for letting trans in women's room. Are you okay with the man showing his penis around girls? That's the entire headline. And, well, you know what, let me just get to the story. Here's the article. A woman at Los Angeles area spa called WI Spa yelled at employees after suffering a traumatic event of a man, and the article says, unclear if the person identified as a trans woman. All right, so the article says, unclear if the person identified as a trans woman. However, the headline says, woman outraged at spa for letting trans in women's room. But let's go on. She yelled at employees after suffering a traumatic event of a man walking through the women's locker room with, quote, his penis hanging out. The video showed another woman asking for a refund from the spa with the woman behind the camera supporting her. The woman pressed one employee if they condone a man showing his penis around other women and minor girls. She says, I just want to be clear. It's okay for a man to go into the women's section, show his penis around the other women, little girls, underaged. WI Spa, you condone that. Is that what you're saying? She asked the employee, and then adds, and you did nothing. The woman says, WI Spa is in agreement with men who say they are women, and they can go down there with their penis and get into the women's section? Is that what you're saying? And by the way, we're going to break this down, and we're also going to play the audio of her confrontation, so hang in there. The woman also berated a man who approached her to defend the person as a possible trans woman, not knowing the circumstances of the event, as he was not in the locker room. That is key to this story as well. Other shows and news agencies may sidestep this amateur, but I am not. Someone butting in and interjecting is quintessential amateur behavior. Having to interject without any information, any context, this other random male amateur just saw a woman complaining about a man in a woman's locker room, and rather exercise common sense like a pro, he went for this. How do you know he isn't trans? He had to virtue signal. He had to pretend to be caring. He had to pretend to be sympathetic and understanding with no logic, no common sense. No common sense. Common sense, as I've said before, trumps everything. Common sense is what we have because we don't need science, because we don't need further explanation. That's the beauty of common sense. What if your underage son or daughter were there? Amateur Nation replies like this, I'd be fine with it. No, you wouldn't. And you shouldn't be. And if you are, you're a horrible parent. Your job, your number one job as a parent, if you do nothing else, protect your child from physical, mental, sexual, and emotional harm. I'm not a parent. I don't need to be a parent to know that. I was a kid and I had good parents, and I know they did their jobs in all four departments. What we have here in this story is a sexual predator, conveniently disguised as a trans person. Frankly, it's insulting to real trans people who are fighting for dignity and want to be left the hell alone. Okay, back to the article, and then I'm going to play you the audio of her rightful confrontation. The woman went on to say to the employee at Wee Spa, "There's no such thing as transgender. He had a dick. He has a penis hanging out," she said. "I have a right to feel comfortable without a man exposing himself. That's traumatizing to see that." Argue that. She has a right to be at a spa where it's supposed to be relaxing and not feel unsafe or threatened or uncomfortable by male nudity in the women's locker room. Okay, here's the audio from the actual confrontation, unedited.
Wee Spa, so you don't, so it's okay. I just want to be clear with you. It's okay. It's okay for a man to go into the women's section, show his penis around the other women, young little girls underage. Your spa, Wee Spa, condone that. Is that what you're saying? Like I asked. It's so he can stay there. He can stay there. What sexual orientation? I see a dick. It lets me know he's a man. He's a man. He is a man. He is not no female. He is not a female. He is not a female. Hold on. He is not a female, sweetie. Okay, girls down there, other women who are highly offended for what they just saw, and you did nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, you sided with him. So Wee Spa is in agreement with men that just say they are a woman and they can go down there with their penis and get into the women's section. Is that what you're saying? What really? What law? What law? So women can go into the men's with their breasts.
I'm not gonna come back. For the first time.
Okay.
This should happen. We're not gonna come back.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Yeah, I wouldn't come back either. Yeah, get your money back.
Everything.
You got a man with his penis talking about he's a woman. He ain't no woman. Yeah, give her money back.
Are you talking about the transgender person?
There's no such thing as transgender. He has a dick. Okay. He has a penis. His penis is hanging out. Okay, no, I'm not one. Actually, I'm a woman who knows how to stand up and speak up for my right. As a woman, I have a right to feel comfortable without a man exposing himself. Okay, no, you go somewhere else. Okay, so that's right. No, he's not a transgender. He has a penis, just like you do. Are you? No. Yeah. Okay, it's not okay.
It's not okay.
Okay, that's traumatizing to see that. I'm a woman. I think this is a place right here. I'm told only for women. So how dare you sit up here and tell me I don't have a right as a woman to defend? I'm telling you, he has a penis. A full and testicle, okay? And I don't care what it called. It's a man. You got one? You're a man. Okay.
And if we went into the men's section with our anatomy, that would be...
Well, it wouldn't probably, but you might not like women, so it might not, okay? And we don't know, but for me and for a lot of other women, they do not feel comfortable, and it's not okay. Okay? So, well, you're sorry. You should be, sweetie, and you're out of alignment, and this is not right. I can tell you that much, all right? And I know you're out of order. Yeah, it must be hard. It must be hard not being a real man, huh? Try it.
I'm actually glad this happened. Well, I mean, I'm glad first and foremost that no one was assaulted, but there are some things to consider, and you know how much I love lists. It makes the arguing of my point that much easier to compartmentalize and for you, the listener, to assimilate. Here we go. Number one, suppose you're a female parent, okay? You go to the spa with your little one. He or she goes to the kids' room, the nursery, the play area, while you go relax and have a day spa experience. You're in the locker room. Before you get started, you're getting out of your clothes, getting into your robe or towel, you're removing your makeup and putting on your flip-flops. You're extremely vulnerable at that point, and in walks a naked man in front of your underage daughter. Now you get to have a conversation you weren't prepared to have with your child. You have to have this conversation all of a sudden because you know how little kids are. They're curious and they address what is happening right in front of them. Now you're thrown under the bus. You got to have this conversation about what? Sexuality, genitals, heterosexuality, homosexuality, trans people, human rights, rules, laws. It's a disaster. Luckily, The woman in this story wasn't with a child, but she points out that there were underage minor girls there. Number two, why wasn't this man stopped and questioned? Regardless of whether he identifies as a trans woman or not, I guarantee you, had this happened at a regular gym, like where I was a member at LA Fitness, oh, there would be problems. I remember the women that worked out there. There would be plenty of lawsuits, possibly an assault, and rightfully so. Number three, the spa allowed this, so naturally there will be amateur copycats. Keep an eye out for TikTok videos. Men will start going into ladies' locker rooms thinking it's funny, or they'll call it the locker room challenge, and the next time they'll be filming. And amateur women, out of retaliation, will do the same in men's locker rooms. Number four, so anyone can go anywhere and do anything. Is that where we're at now as a society? Number five, this is not about freedom of expression or personal freedoms or sexual oppression or sexual freedom. I won't even dignify that with an explanation. It's wrong, it's illegal, and pros know it. Amateurs know it too, but their feelings come first. Number six, and let's just say for a hot second that as a pro, I say, okay, it is freedom of expression. Well, then I get to create a sandwich board sign, put it on, and follow that amateur who walked into the ladies' locker room and say, this man exposes himself to young girls. Freedom of expression, right? Number seven, as always, Amateur Nation will ignore this and excuse this by saying, oh, it's just one time. And more importantly, it didn't happen to me. Doesn't affect me directly, so it's not a problem. Number eight. And for the amateur men out there who might say, hey, I'd be fine if a woman came into the men's locker room. Okay, first of all, it's not Selma Hayek coming in there, and I don't care who you are. You're not in, I'm showered, shaved, fresh from the gym, feeling confident, horny, and primed for sex ready in a locker room full of other men, other out-of-shape men, or men in better shape than you. You, as a man, would feel vulnerable. You'd feel caught off guard. And this isn't a woman walking into the men's locker room like, whoops, sorry, wrong room. No, no. A woman just hanging out there. Just, she's getting undressed and you're getting undressed. You would feel vulnerable. You'd be caught off guard. And not to mention, you know this would never happen because of simple biology. And a naked woman would never enter a locker room full of naked men unless it was Cinemax. Number nine. Notice some amateur told this woman to, well, go somewhere else. And the woman who was complaining was 100% right in saying, you go somewhere else. Since when does the rule and law abiding and the common sense and common courtesy abiding have to adjust to sexual predators? Number 10, this is not a trans issue. It's a criminal act disguised as a trans issue, like how California is ignoring the mental health and drug abuse issue by treating it like a homelessness issue. It's just like that. Number 11. So what made or makes this okay? This naked man exposing himself in front of women where they expect a modicum of privacy, but also in front of children. What, the fact that it's a spa? The locker room of the spa? That this man may or may not identify as a woman? Does a child seeing an exposed penis take that into consideration when that happens? Especially a young child who may not have seen any genitals besides their own at that age, at that time? So if this man exposed himself, gay, straight, or trans, say, in the lobby of the spa in front of others, then it would not be okay? If he does the same thing in a regular gym locker room, is it okay then or no? What if he exposes himself outdoors? What if I did it? I have a penis just like this man, right? I'm not trans. I don't identify as a woman. I'm not gay. I have a penis just like this guy does, just like this person does. What if you had a personal friend who was gay or trans or straight, and he exposed himself to your underage daughter? It's still a penis. What, because you know the person, that would make it weird? What, it's better if the person exposing himself to your daughter is a stranger? You know, the satirical website The Babylon Bee jokingly recently had a headline that read something like, "Woman identifies as man so she won't have to wait in long restroom line." But what if a man did that? What if the men's room was out of order and he really had to go? Can he temporarily identify as a woman and head into the ladies' room? Now, amateurs will call all my previous rhetoric homophobic or transphobic, but that's just because they weren't listening. Being gay or trans doesn't mean you don't have a moral code and you can't follow rules and you don't have the ability to exercise common sense or don't know how to respect others. However, this particular man, and I say this man, regardless of how he identifies, disturbed the flow of the pros. This is not how society works. He knows it. He just doesn't care. Because he's special. Because he's an amateur. Oh, I know all the above are obvious stupid questions, by the way. But amateurs open the floodgates and pay back as a bitch. I can't wait for the day when a woman or gang of women open up a can of whoop-ass on someone who disrespects their privacy and space again. And also, why the hell am I explaining this? Why is this even a topic on Amateur Nation? See what Amateur Nation does, ladies and gentlemen? We waste our time adjusting to them, dealing with them, explaining them, handling them, and exposing them, no pun intended. It's all in my book. Download it. It's still at a reduced price of $5 until the nation is done with masks altogether and shutdowns. Your neck will be sore from nodding in agreement.
Topic number two.
Amateur Nation, I can't with you anymore. First Mrs. Butterworth, Aunt Jemima, Dr. Seuss, the Muppets, classical music, and math. Now this from wildlife.org. Grappling with the racist past preserved in birds' names. Birds are racist now. The article says this. Biologists and conservationists are struggling with the legacy borne by birds' names. It's not just the McCown's longspur, which last year became the thick-billed longspur after the American Ornithological Society agreed to shed connotations with the Confederate general it was named for. I know I feel better, safer, and woker. What about you? And you know, when they did that last year, I just remember out of nowhere this feeling like, what is that? They must have changed some bird names. I had this sense of security and happiness and inclusiveness now. The article says the writings of other naturalists are filled with racist language and behavior, yet their legacies are preserved in species like the Townsend's warbler, raising growing concerns about the appropriateness of these birds' names. Growing concerns. Hey man, you okay? You look like you're kind of down. It's just this Townsend's warbler thing. It's wrecking my life. I can't get any work done. That's all I'm thinking about. The article says, even John James Audubon's name is fraught in a nation embroiled in a racial reckoning, writes the Washington Post. What a shocker coming from them. Long the most recognized figure in North American birding for his detailed drawings of the continent's species, he was also an enslaver who mocked abolitionists working to free black people. And once again, this is the part where I say, bad people can do good things and good people can do bad things. I'm not excusing the fact that he was an enslaver who mocked abolitionists working to free black people. When he wasn't doing that, he was naming birds. Bill Cosby was America's dad. Did some bad stuff, huh? Now he's out. Audubon's legacy is so concerning, the National Audubon Society hasn't ruled out changing its name, the Post reports. Interim Chief Executive Elizabeth Gray said in a statement in May, I am deeply troubled by the racist actions of John James Audubon. Just now she's all of a sudden deeply troubled, by the way. It just now hit her. And recognize how painful that legacy is for black, indigenous, and people of color who are part of our staff, volunteers, donors, and members. Although we have begun to address this part of our history, we have a lot more to unpack. Frankly, I don't know how those people managed to work there under those conditions without a steady stream of opioids and whiskey, what with all the oppression. Now, I don't know about racist birds, but here are some great bird names that sound sexist, but are indeed real species. Amateurs, you're going to want to set your brain, yes, your one collective brain, to trauma. These are real birds, real names. Nothing dirty here. Nothing sexist here. The tufted titmouse. The titpecker. The woodpecker. The brown booby. Tinkling cysticola. The fluffy-backed titbabbler. The great tit. The barn swallow. Red-billed oxpecker. The dick sissel. The gamecock. The yellow-bellied sapsucker. And, of course, Big Bird. Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, really. Yeah, I'm the immature one, not the amateurs calling out bird names as racist. My Instagram is at LouCiantini3, and please subscribe to my YouTube page to see episode podcast previews. They're every Thursday at 7 a.m., 60 seconds long, gives you a little sample of what to expect on Sunday's new episode. I'll see you in about 60 seconds.
There's been an odd shift in human behavior over the last 15 plus years. A sense of entitlement. A constant need for attention.
Ironically coupled with the need to be left alone.
A desire to be treated the same as everyone else. Stupidly combined with the mindset of, I'm special, so treat me accordingly.
Introducing the book, Amateur Nation. The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. The second edition. Inside, you'll read,
The Amateur Mission Statement.
The 30 Truths About Amateurs. The 4 Stages of Being an Amateur.
Amateur habitats and history. Social media plus me equals amateur.
Technology and amateur behavior.
With dozens of real funny photos, weird signs, and laugh out loud real life accounts and actual conversations vividly showing how us pros are surrounded by amateur nation every day. Download the expanded second edition of the ebook Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills.
The second expanded edition, available now.
Be a pro. Go to Amazon. Type Amateur Nation.
Topic number 3.
Did you know? In Amateur Nation, for an amateur to get freedom, which in reality is special preferential attention and treatment, for them to get their freedom, a pro has to lose their freedom and right to peacefully exist. When I have said that amateurs do things for attention, I've often heard comments like, Lou, maybe they don't want attention. Maybe they really believe in what they are saying or doing. Okay. To that I respond, just because you believe in something, A, does not make it so. And B, how about doing something, protesting, making change, fighting the good fight, the right way, the legal way, the peaceful way, the well-spoken, coherent, calm, clear, logical, and convincing way? Why do I have to lose freedoms and safety so you can gain freedom? Why does my life have to be interrupted and upended so you can be more comfortable with yourself? So you can have more freedoms. Freedom you already had in America anyway. I'll say it again. Freedom you already had in America anyway. Why do I have to lose freedoms? Why does my life have to change so you can get special attention? The only person that should be having a change of life is you, the person clamoring for that attention or that freedom. Why do I have to be inconvenienced so you can state your case? Why do I have to have my life disrupted, my ears and eyes and intelligence assaulted and insulted so you can simply complain? Why do I have to give up a gas-powered car because you believe in electric cars? Can't there be both? Why do you have to steal focus from the gold and silver medalist so you can complain about America and take third? More on that in a minute. Why do I have to give you a whole month so you can be proud of who you are having sex with? Aren't you already proud of your sexuality? Why do I have to be proud of your sexuality, whether it's gay or straight? I'm not proud of my sexuality. It just is. Any more than I can't be proud of being 5'9" or proud of being male or Caucasian. It just is. I'm proud of who I am as a person, who I've become, what I've become, what I've accomplished, and how I treat people. No one in America, no one, is being denied a car or home loan, a job opportunity, a promotion, or advancement based on their race or sex anymore. Because if they do that, it's illegal. That is fighting racism the right way. But the problem is, people are getting opportunities, promotions, and other benefits simply because they're alive. Because they exist. Because someone who doesn't like the person who was there before can fill that spot. What if we said, you know what, we need a fat guy there because a thin woman had that title before. It's no different. You know, we need a tall woman in that position because a short man had that position before. If anything, the one true ist that exists in the workforce is ageist. Too many qualified, loyal, hardworking people who are senior citizens are getting ousted after years, maybe decades at their jobs, so a younger person who will work for half the money can take their place. Wait a minute, who am I kidding? Most younger people won't work for half the money, as long as President Coloring Book keeps giving them handouts for doing nothing. When someone gets something simply because they exist and are a member of a minority, and not because they are qualified, that is stealing from a qualified person who are in the majority. But back to my earlier question, why do you have to steal focus from the gold and silver medalists so you can complain about America and take third? From low-quality toilet paper, USA Today, here's your headline. Gwen Berry responds to critics of her flag protest. I never said I hated the country. No, you just pouted and threw a temper tantrum like a little girl. At least I think you're a girl. When Gwen Berry stood on the podium to be When Gwen Berry stood on the podium to be recognized for her third place finish in the hammer throw at the U.S. Track and Field Olympic Trials on June 26th, she said she was shocked to hear that Star Spangled Banner played. In response to the national anthem, Berry turned away from the American flag and placed her t-shirt, which read "Activist Athlete," over her head. She said later she felt set up because the athletes had previously been told that the anthem would be played either before or after their medal ceremony. She said, "I never said that I didn't want to go to the Olympic Games," in an interview on the Black News Channel. "I never said that I hated the country. All I said was, I respect my people enough to not stand or acknowledge something that disrespects them. I love my people, point blank, period." You know I'm going to break this down, so strap yourself in. Here it comes. She said, "I never said that I didn't want to go to the Olympic Games." Well, there it is. "I want the accolades and attention and possible future endorsements being in the Olympics could bring me, i.e. capitalism. But I want to bitch about it the whole time and show no appreciation for those who helped me and encouraged me along the way. And the Americans who come in all races who might have cheered me on." By the way, that activist athlete t-shirt, a black tee with white lettering, was clearly a BLM knockoff. It was as close as she could get because Japan said they won't allow any BLM crap at the Olympics. She said she felt set up because the athletes had previously been told that the anthem would be played either before or after the medal ceremony. What are you, new? Have you never seen an Olympics before? They played the national anthem after the event while the competitors stand on the podium, rookie. Now, I'm not sure if you've seen it, but just a short time ago, there's a photo. It's all over the internet. There she was. Big smiles, happy, literally, and I'm saying that word exactly right, literally draping herself in a giant American flag. Oh, that's right. It's not the flag. It's not America. It's the national anthem. I got two words for you, Gwen Berry. Jesse Owens. You know, I've worked in some offices where I liked the work. Hated the boss. Liked the boss, the work bored me. Liked my coworkers, hated the boss and the work. But you know what? I sucked it up because they put food on my table. And when someone got out of line and disrespected me personally, questioned my work ethic and or loyalty, and it did indeed come up, I handled it the right way, privately, discreetly, respectfully. And if I would have gotten fired for defending myself, I would have found another job. Funny how she wasn't upset until she was told, rather programmed, to be upset. Gwen Berry says, "I love my people, period." Really? You know what? I don't love all my fellow white people. Let me clarify. I do respect all my fellow man and woman and his or her right to peacefully exist and coexist, but to say you love your whole race just because they're of your race is an empty sentiment. Don't be surprised if Nike, who just suffered a $750 million first quarter loss, hey, go woke, go broke, and just had their CEO state, Nike is a brand of China and for China. Don't be surprised if Nike doubles down and learns nothing and gives this bench warmer an endorsement deal. Watch for some slogan like, sometimes winning isn't about medals. Note the day and time you heard this. While I've seen people mocking Gwen because she took third to qualify for the Olympics, I won't do that because by definition, you've already won, Gwen. You just don't know it. You don't understand that. You are representing the greatest nation on the planet. You could go to the Olympics and win the whole damn thing. It could happen. And you, like LeBron, tainted any winning that may occur. You're not brave. You're a whiner. You're an attention monger. A crybaby with misplaced loyalty. You're an embarrassment. Only the stupidest people will think that you were being noble. You're just an ungrateful person. All right, a few things that didn't quite make the top three topics. This is called Off Topic. Let's have it. There's another show with Anna Paquin. Look, I'm sure she's a nice person, and I don't want to make fun of someone because of their appearance, but I'm gonna. Her face, it's too distracting with those bug eyes and spread teeth. I feel like I'm looking at a frog through a picket fence. Whoever coined the phrase, you don't shit where you eat, has never been to a Denny's. Hey, did you know the NBA is still around? Yeah, I don't care either. I saw this sign in a store, and I quote, no mask necessary if fully vaccinated. Okay, and then directly underneath it, another sign that said, if you are vaccinated, out of respect for others, we ask that you wear a mask. It's amazing the way doublespeak and verbal trickery is used to control, manipulate, and scare amateurs. I was talking with a female friend of mine, and jokingly, in conversation, she had used the word vagina. And I have replied, well, thank you, doctor. I hate hearing the medical terms for genitals in everyday conversation. Unless you're talking about something medical, please use slang. I'm not saying you have to be vulgar, but words like penis and buttocks and vagina and breasts, they're all so clunky. I have a theory that maybe we would not have come up with so many vulgar slang terms for genitalia if the clinical words weren't so stupid sounding and awkward to say. And of course, while I've never called a woman the C word, I have said it privately in anger to myself, only because it sounds stupid to yell, vagina! Time now for three pro things, three things that are done right in this world. Number one. By now, if you don't know my fandom for the NHRA, then you've just started listening to this show. The NHRA, the National Hot Rod Association, teaches life lessons with almost every broadcast. And this past lesson was a lesson in tenacity. Funny car driver Terry Haddock got his first official round win since 2005 when he raced in New England just a few weeks ago. Not an event win. Not a world championship, simply winning a race. 16 years of racing between wins. Do you know how expensive and exhausting it is to race in the NHRA at the pro funny car level and to stay with it? That's love. That's passion. That's work ethic. That's tenacity. That's pro. I urge you to read my article on NHRA.com. 70 reasons why NHRA drag racing is the greatest sport on earth. And the look of appreciation, childlike thrill, and gratitude was all over Terry Haddock's face after he won. Number two. A few weeks ago on this segment, I played audio from a man named Errol Weber, who listed 40 reasons why Gavin Newsom, Emperor of California, should be recalled. It was a mic drop moment. Now this time, Errol Weber weighs in on crybaby Olympic hopeful Gwen Berry with this open letter to the United States Olympic Committee. Listen to this. He says, every 4 years, the United States gets to send our best athletes to the Olympics to show the world the results of our years of training, dedication, and dominance in the world of sports. But athleticism isn't enough. Equally as important is sportsmanship and above all, patriotism. Recently, the U.S., no, the world, saw Gwen Berry disgrace our country on the national stage during the Olympic trials by turning away from the U.S. flag during the playing of the U.S. national anthem, which she claims was a setup. Excuse me, it is never a setup to hear the U.S. national anthem. It doesn't matter what you're doing or where you are. If you hear the national anthem, you stop what you're doing and show your respect. If she can't do the bare minimum of standing at attention for 1 minute while the anthem of the country she seeks to represent plays, she doesn't deserve to stand on any podium. At the Olympics, we are supposed to present our best selves. She may have gotten third place in the trials, but she has no place representing the United States on the world stage at the Olympics. If she's willing to do what she did during the trials, imagine the embarrassment she will bring to our country when she goes and acts a fool at the Olympics, embarrassing herself, her teammates, and the United States. It is in America's best interest to not bring a raging PR nightmare to Japan. On behalf of every American who loves this amazing country, fights for, and takes pride in our country, we demand that Gwen Berry be removed from the U.S. Olympic team immediately. In the past, you've punished other athletes for less. Do not hold her to a different standard out of fear of being called racist for removing her from the team either. She brought this on herself. You still have time to bump the fourth place finisher up to her third place spot and not interfere with training. Failure to remove Gwen Berry from the U.S. Olympic team will result in a boycott of the Olympics by the tens of millions. That's what happens when an athlete draws the ire of half the country. You've seen what debilitating damage a boycott has done over the years to the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys, and the NFL. It's already bad enough that the Olympic host nation can barely make its money back because of partially filled stadiums. A U.S. boycott of the Olympics will result in a ratings and revenue crash felt around the world. It's time we all stand up for America. U.S. Olympic Committee, do the right thing. The world is watching. Errol Weber, immigrant, U.S. citizen, patriot. And he concludes with, God bless the USA. Number 3. You know, I've had some dessert picks on the last 2 weeks, and this time a healthy snack. I've never had a regular apricot, but I do like dried apricots. But most dried apricots are just that, dry. Not these. They're called Mariani apricots. M-A-R-I-A-N-I. Mariani apricots could be the best healthy fruit snack I've ever had. When you open the bag, the fragrance is mouthwatering and they're just the right texture. They're a good source of potassium, great for digestion, and the bag has it exactly right where it says intense flavor and aroma. And you get 10% of your vitamin E for the day. They're gluten-free if that's important to you. Mariani dried apricots. In my store, they're adjacent to the produce section. Just keep them in the car or have them on the way to the gym. Mariani apricots. And no, I don't get paid for that. It's just a pro thing in my life. So if you want to see and hear what's coming for each episode, follow me on Instagram at LouSantini3 for audiograms. Or go to my Facebook page at facebook.com/LouSantiniEntertainment, where I post a 60-second video preview every Thursday. It's also on YouTube as well. And as always, if you have a topic or you read or saw something or something happened to you that was amateur-related, or if you have a comment, criticism, or you're an advertiser who wants to reach people who have common sense, email me, lou@lousantini.com. Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. We'll see you next week.